letters of Paul, an introduction that brings glory to God and shows us how great and good God is, what he wants to do in us, in his grace and in his mercy, and the peace that he wants us to have, peace between each other and peace with him. We looked at that and we marveled at what God does for us, and that the glory should go to him forever and ever. Tonight, we're going to look at verses 6 to 10 of Galatians chapter 1, and hopefully we will be challenged to stand true with the gospel that is able to deliver us. There are some people who preach another gospel, and we'll look at that as we're going. They preach a gospel that they have made up. They preach a gospel that sounds good or that has nice phrases in it, one that's easy to understand or that makes human sense. But the only gospel that we should have on our lips is the gospel that changed our life. And so if it has not changed our life, let us keep silent. And if it has changed our life, then it can change someone else's as well. Do not be content with a false gospel. That's really the main thrust of this message tonight. So we'll begin reading in verse 6 of Galatians chapter 1. I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. For do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I yet pleased men, then I should not be the servant of Christ. We have here the instruction to preach the true gospel. Let's have a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we come to you this evening and we beg that you would make it clear to us what it is that you would have us to know, that we would be full of the good news of Jesus Christ, so full that it would overflow out of our lips and that we would be true witnesses of what you have done in changing us. Father, we ask that you would keep our eyes and our ears and our hearts protected this evening, that we would not be distracted, that we would not wander in our thinking, but that we would be focused upon you and your word. And Lord, we ask these things that your name be praised. Amen. We have here two gospels mentioned. We have the gospel that they had received, mentioned there in verse 6, the gospel of the grace of Christ. The gospel of the grace of Christ. It is not something that is deserved. It is not something that is earned. It is something that is given by grace. And it is not something that is purchased by our own efforts. It is of the Messiah, that is, of Jesus. It is that good news about the one who died for us, rose again, and now offers to us salvation full and free. This is the true gospel. But we have another gospel. And it's interesting here in verse 6, we have the word another. And then in the verse 7, we have the word another. But we have actually two different words in the Greek. One means another of the same kind, and the other one means another of a different kind. Now, can you guess which one is which? Well, not in the English, but if you look into it, the first one is another of a different kind. The word is heteros. It means something that is extremely different. Like if you were going to compare apples and oranges, they are fruits of a different kind. But the other, another in verse 7, and let's see here if I can remember how to say it properly. Nope. I can't remember how to say it properly. We will just say it's another of the same kind. And so this is like comparing an apple that is a red delicious apple with a apple like a gala apple. And I'm sure I pronounced that one wrong too. A gala apple or a gala apple. And they're both apples. So you can actually compare the good points, the different points in them. Maybe one's better for cooking and one's better for just eating on a hot summer day. There's things that could be compared because they are the same but different. The first one in verse 6 is different in all ways. It is apples and oranges. There is nothing similar between them except that we lump them into the category of fruit. One is a bit sour and a bit bitey and, citrusy. And the other one is just juicy and sweet, lots of sugar in it. They're very different in how they taste, in what they look like, the kinds of trees that they grow on. They are very different. We have here a different gospel, and it's not even as pretty a picture as an apple and an orange. Instead, it is talking about the difference between heaven and hell. The results of the right gospel is a delivered life. The results of a fake gospel is condemns you to hell. That is the difference between them. They are not even in the same category. It would be better to say it's like a pig and an apple, maybe. They're not even in the same category. No way that you can lump them into the same category at all. One grows on a tree, one doesn't. I don't know. We can keep going on that route. They're very different. We have here a description of what kind of hold we should have upon the gospel which has delivered us. The kind of hold we should have is one that would not be troubled. In verse 7, that phrase, that trouble you, is that shakes you, that makes or causes you to tremble or falter. We are not to be hearing another gospel that is troubling us. We are not to be allowing into our life those who are preaching another gospel. I want us to see that Paul doesn't say, well, you know, if I come to you with a different gospel, you should accept it. Or because you accepted the gospel the first time I presented it, and so now, you know, you should claim me as your authority. No, here Paul says in verse 8 that though anyone, whether it was Paul or someone else in authority or an angel from heaven, came and preached a different gospel, they were not to let go of that which they had already received. They were not to lose their grasp of the truth of the gospel. They were to hold on to it. They were to avoid the person who is teaching the wrong thing, but to go even beyond that. Look at the end of that verse in verse 8. They're not just to say, oh, well, that person was wrong, but I'll let them continue on their way. He says, let that person who preaches another gospel to you be accursed. Let them be accursed. Let them be condemned in being condemned. This is the attitude we should have towards those who are teaching another gospel. Paul then doesn't leave it to us to make these assumptions on our own, but in verse 9, he restates them. Again, if something is repeated in the Bible, it's repeated for emphasis, not because the author forgot that they wrote the same thing two verses earlier. No, it is because they are underlining, they are bolding, they are expanding the print on this particular idea so that we will know it and remember it. In verse 9, he says, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. This is our attitude that we should have towards those who go against the gospel. This then causes us to ask, what is the good news of Christ? What is it about the good news that changes us? We don't have time to go to all of the passages that would tell us all the things about the gospel, all the things that Jesus did or said, all of the ways in which he benefits us. But we definitely can conclude that the gospel is that which changes us. If we go to verse 6 again, this is a gospel that called us unto the grace of Christ. The gospel that called us unto the grace of Christ. It is the good news proclaimed that caused us to move from where we were to be called out towards Jesus. Some people would proclaim a gospel that sounds almost the same, and yet their Jesus is not the same. They do not declare him to be the only begotten Son of God. They do not declare him to have been perfect in his life. They do not declare him to have borne our sins, or they deny the resurrection. They declare a Jesus who is very different. And because their Jesus is different, their gospel is different. Other people claim that their Jesus is the same, and yet they do not call us to turn from our wickedness and to come to Christ. They tell us that we are good just the way we are, that we have a spark of goodness in us, and if only we will listen to Jesus' voice, that spark will turn into a flame. That we are good enough inside of ourselves, or we can do some action that will make up the difference. All of these are other gospels. I want us to see in verse 7 that these other gospels are not only wrong in that they lead us to another place, but they are a perversion of the truth. In verse 7 it says, and would pervert the gospel of Christ. That word pervert means to twist, to cause to not function properly by twisting it out of the way. Maybe it would be like a river going this way and then you pervert its course and send it another direction. Or maybe it's a person who's going up the trail and then they get lost and they start wandering. And how hard is it to find the trail when you're in the middle of the forest and you have lost the trail? Will you ever be able to find it again? Well, it's not very likely. Here they are trying to pervert the gospel of Christ, to turn people out of the way that leads to Jesus, and instead turn them away, sidetrack them, get them lost somewhere else. Too many people are lost on their way to Jesus. They think they are chasing Jesus. They think they are going to obtain grace, and yet they are lost. They are sidetracked. They are perverted because the gospel they have heard is wrong. We need to be very careful that the gospel we preach is the same one that we heard. The same one that has the power to change lives. We find not only is the gospel something that needs to be the pure gospel, the true gospel, and it needs to be the same one that we originally found, but we also need to make sure this gospel is the gospel that pleases God. In verse 10, Paul says, for do I persuade men or God? Do I persuade God or men? We might be better able to understand this if we switched the word persuade to please. Because when you persuade someone, you tell them something that they are willing to hear, and then they are willing to act upon. Here, Paul is pleasing God, not men, with his message. When we speak of Jesus, we are speaking a message that should be pleasing to God. Failing to declare the gospel properly is failing to speak the gospel as God would have it speak. And instead, it is a man-serving kind of a gospel. We have here then a picture of another gospel, a gospel that has no power, a gospel that is one that pleases people to hear, but it doesn't affect any change in their eternal state. It is a gospel that God hates. It is a gospel that is proclaimed by those who are not servants of Jesus, but is rather those who serve themselves. The only reason to preach a gospel that would please men would be so that we could gain some glory to ourselves. But if we preach a gospel that is pleasing to God, it will bring glory to God. At the end of verse 10, Paul says, he is the servant of Christ. That means he is doing things on the behalf of, for the benefit of, for the profit of Jesus Christ. He is trying to do the will of his master, Jesus, in preaching the gospel. We must be careful that our gospel is the gospel and not one of our own imaginations. We don't have time tonight to go through the rest of Galatians, especially in chapter 2 where it talks about how false brethren bring in a false Christ to bring us into bondage, and how God accepts no person. We need instead to focus on Jesus. And if we can see him, we can see ourselves changed, and we can see God pleased. We can persuade God not to force him into something that God does not want to do, no, but to please him through our words, to please him through the good news of Jesus Christ. Jesus preached a good news in his day. The disciples continued it, and we carry on that torch today. Just like the Olympics, they carry the torch and one person lights it to the next person. I don't know if you've ever seen someone do this. I did happen to see this once where someone started to run before their torch got lit. And then they had to turn around and run back. They were running, but the torch hadn't been passed because the flame wasn't lit. This is the problem. If you have another gospel, you've got a torch in your hand, but it's not lit. And because it's not lit, it cannot be passed on to someone else effectively. And there are churches that are full of people who are unlit torches, passing their unlit torch to the next generation and the next generation. And we do not want to be that. We want to be so on fire for God and so changed by the gospel of Jesus Christ that we pass that good news on and it gets carried forward by others. This is the gospel that we have heard and that has changed us, a marvelous gospel, a wonderful gospel, a gospel that brings glory unto God. Let us not be accursed, but rather let us preach Jesus Christ.